keep me out of trouble. All right, if you open your Bibles this morning to the book of Jonah. Jonah in the Old Testament. Now, we've been studying the book of John, but Pastor asked me to bring the Sunday school lesson this morning, so we're going to leave the book of John for him when he gets back Sunday, amen? So he'll be teaching it next Sunday, so we'll let him take care of that. Book of Jonah, chapter 3 in the Old Testament. It's just a small book, but it's a powerful book. I think I like this book. I think most of us can relate to Jonah in one way or the other. And I like this book because it reminds I remind myself of I'm a lot like Jonah. You know, Jonah run from God, and I ran from God for a long, many years before I finally surrendered to teach and preach the gospel. So I think about Jonah, and every time I read that, I think about myself and how I ran from the Lord. But I think most of us can put ourselves in the book of Jonah. Somewhere we can tie our life to Jonah and the way he conducted his life. And we're going to look at that in just a few moments. I'm going to loosen this tie just a hair, if it's all right with you. They got me on a medication that makes it hard for me to breathe. And with that tie being tight, I'm like, and I believe it or not, I went to the mall yesterday. Y'all know where that is? I don't like that place. It cost a lot of money. It's expensive. And I was really upset. I was looking around. You know, they have boys' department. They have girls' departments. They have a ladies' department. They have a men's department. You've been there, right? They have a big and tall. They don't have any short and fat anywhere in there. I looked through the whole mall. So you try to find a shirt that'll fit you right. You know, it's either too big or too small. So they need to put a short and fat department in the mall. Now, some of you guys in here, you know what I'm talking about, amen? All right, I'm not by myself, okay? Anyhow, I just had to get that off my chest this morning. I was really upset when I went to the mall yesterday. I told my wife, I don't like going to the mall. Anyhow, the first thing I want to do is I want to review just a little bit. I know you know the story of Jonah, but I want to review just a little bit to put our mindset where we need to be when we get to chapter 3. So, and we're going to find, as we go through the book of Jonah, you'll find several attributes of God. And, for example, in chapter 1, we'll find God's chastening. And you know, if you're a child of God, you're going to be chastened by God at some time or another in your life. And we'll see that in chapter 1 with Jonah. And in chapter 2, we find his grace, God's tremendous grace. And I know you and I have shared God's grace, amen? If you're a born-again believer today, God has shared his grace with you, amen? So we can all relate in some way to Jonah. And in chapter 3, we'll find his love for man. When God sent the Lord Jesus to die on the cross, it was a great demonstration of his love once again towards his creation. And in chapter 4, we find his patience. And I'm looking around this auditorium this morning, and I can see where God's got a lot of patience. Amen. I know he's been very patient with me, and I thank him for that. His love, his grace, and his patience. I mean, what good God we have. And we're going to see that as we go through a little bit of Jonah. So when you get to in chapter 1, and the chastening starts with Jonah, you know, God instructs Jonah to go to Nineveh and cry because the wickedness of Nineveh had come up before God. And he had instructed Jonah to go and to cry upon it. So what did Jonah do? Jonah put his Snickers on and hit the bunny trail, right? Jonah run and hopped the ship to Tarshish, running from the presence of the Lord. Instead of running to God, he ran away from God. This is where the chastening begins. And you know the story, like I said, you know the story, but God sent a great storm. And the ship that they was on was being tossed and thrown and was about to sink. And the man that was on the ship with Jonah, as they began hunting amongst their little g gods to find out what the problem was, they finally realized that the problem was Jonah. Jonah was on the ship running from God. And the amazing part to me was that all these men turned from their little g gods and turned to God. And that was a blessing in itself to see that. It's just sad, though, that man has to reach bottom before he'll turn to God. But that's what we see right there. And then we know that the Lord had prepared a great fish, whale, fish, whatever you want to call it. The Lord prepared something huge to swallow Jonah, amen? Whatever it was, I don't know, don't really care. I just know that it swallowed Jonah. I believe that. And so Jonah swallowed up. Then we come into chapter 2 where we see God's grace. And Jonah prayed from out of the fish's belly, but not until you reached bottom. When Jonah had gone as far down as he could go, when Jonah had reached the very depths of hell, he decides to cry out to God. And then it's so sad that we do the same thing. Even us as believers. You know, there's a lot of us that never pray until we need something. When we need something from God, we'll begin to pray. Or when things in our lives get so bad or go so wrong, then we'll begin to reach out for God. And that's what Jonah did here. And God shows his loving grace to Jonah. Jonah vowed to do that in which he promised to do. And God shed his grace upon him. And you know that Jonah was spit out on dry ground and given another chance. And that brings us to chapter 3. And that's where I'd like to start this morning. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." So we see here that Jonah was given a second chance. This was also a sign from the Lord of God's grace. He was gracious enough that, you know, obviously he had forgiven Jonah his sin for running from him. Obviously, God is showing here that he has forgiven him that. And but I want you also to notice that it said the word coming to him a second time. God didn't change his mind. God still sent Jonah to do the same thing that he'd asked him to do. And so many times that we'll start out in life doing things, and then all of a sudden we think God's changed his mind. Well, I don't see that here. God didn't change his mind. And we go on to verse 2. It says, "Arise and go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." The preaching that I bid thee. Now we see right here that God has instructed Jonah of what type of preaching to give. Folks, when pastor gets up here and he preaches out of the word of God, he's preaching what God's instructed him to preach. Amen. You know, I don't think that when Jonah is fixing to go here into the city and he cries out among Nineveh, I don't think he went in there whispering. I think he went in there blowing and snorting and screaming and hollering out exactly what God told him to say. And I've heard people say, "I don't like it when a preacher hollers at me." Have you heard them say that? Is it really the fact that you don't like the preacher hollering at you? Or is it that you don't like what you hear? Now think about that. It doesn't bother me one bit when a preacher gets up here blowing and snorting and hollering. It keeps me awake. Amen? Amen? But I do like it when they're stepping on my toes. You know, we as Christians need to be reminded every day of who we truly are without Christ. Well, today in today's world, and they're preaching how good we are, how good we are. I don't know about you, but when I read my Bible, I don't see anything good about us. The Bible teaches me that the best I have to offer God is as filthy rags. That's the best that I have. So you know, all this humanism today, man needs to get over himself. Amen? So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. So now we see that it's 3 days across here. Nineveh was a large city, maybe one of the largest cities in the world at that time, if not the largest city in the world. It was a huge city. So he had gone into the city, and it says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now we see here that Jonah spoke 8 words, according to what we read right here in Scripture. Now, as he went in a day's journey, how far into the city did he get? I don't know. A day's journey, amen. But I do know that when we read, let's read the next verse. So the people, in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. So we see here that the people of Nineveh believed God. Now, just talking about the entire city of Nineveh believed God. Now, how did he go in a day's journey? And obviously, he didn't whisper, because we know that all of Nineveh here, is according to Scripture, Nineveh believed God. So all of Nineveh had to have heard, and it's a 3 days journey. So the way I see it is, he was crying out. And then he only spoke 8 words. Now, the 8-word thing, somebody says, well, how do you know he didn't speak more than that? How do you know that he did? I don't know. I'm just going to go by what the Bible says. He spoke 8 words, amen? But I do believe this. I believe he spoke those words with an attitude. I don't believe he whispered those 8 words. Now, how did the entire city hear it? I don't know. Maybe he used Facebook. I mean, I don't know how he got the word out to everybody. But I tell you the way I really see it. Is that God did it. See, it's never the man. It's always God behind the man. You know, so many times we look up to man and we forget that it's not the man, it's God. God does everything. It's his word and it's his doings. And I believe that Jonah went in here with a little bit of an attitude. I believe he spoke 8 words because I think he was still angry at God. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. But he went to Nineveh because of the burdens that was put on him. So he decided, I better keep my vow to God, and I better go to Nineveh. But I believe he went with an attitude. How many times have you ever done something that you didn't really want to do, but you did it anyways because you had to? Did you have a little attitude with it? And that's the way I picture him here. And I believe we'll see that as we move on a little further. I believe we'll see that he did still have an attitude. And so many Christians today, We'll do God's bidding. We'll do what he tells us to do, but we sure have an attitude about it. And, you know, that's when we look at Jonah. And when I said each and every one of us can relate to Jonah, when we look at the attitude that Jonah had, I think that you'll see, if you'll search your heart, you'll see that somewhere that you've had some attitude just like Jonah. And we need to correct that, especially as believers and as Christians. We shouldn't go out throughout our day with an attitude of, well, I'll do it. I don't want to, but I'll do it because I got to. And so we do things, and we do them, we don't really do the best that we can do. We just do enough to get by with. And that's what we're going to see here. And so I'm going to skip down to verse 10 for the sake of time. It says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he has said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Right here is the reason that Jonah was so upset. He knew in his heart that God would turn from his wrath. Folks, think about that. Think about what Jonah's thinking here. Rather than go to Nineveh and preach what God had asked him to preach, rather than go and forewarn them, because that's what God did. I mean, if God had no intentions of sparing Nineveh, why would he send Jonah to Nineveh? He would have just destroyed it, amen? So he did, but he did ask Jonah to go. So Jonah, being a prophet, should have realized that God had a purpose for him going there. So where does that put Jonah's heart? Jonah, in his heart, being a prophet of God, didn't care about these people in Nineveh. See, Jonah wanted to see God's punishment on these people. He wanted to see God's wrath. And this is what he's saying, folks. And how many times have you done that? Think about that. How many times have you seen a brother or sister in Christ that had done something wrong, some horrible sin, and you, in your heart, wanted to see them punished? Because, see, it's the same thing. There's no difference. It doesn't matter whether there's one or a million. It's the same thing when you have that mindset. When you see somebody that's done wrong and you wish to see that person punished. Then that's having the same mindset as Jonah. Now, and think about it. Now, Jonah being a preacher, you would think, well, how is that possible? That's the sin curse. See that old sin curse, every one of us, it's easier for us to be wicked and evil because that's our nature. It's our nature to be wicked. So it's easier for us to do that than it is to be a Christian. Right. Folks, it's hard to be a Christian. Amen. It takes a lot more man to be a Christian than it does to be a lost person in this world. Right. To stand up for the things that are right and to do the things that are right. And in your life, do correctly according to God and honor God with your life is much harder than living a sinful lost man's life. Because see when we live in the way of the world, that's nature. It's easy. It's easy for us to do so. And that starts as a child. You see a child about 2 or 3 years old, when they start talking, about two or three, they start talking, one, however old they are, I don't know. I don't remember, it's been a long time ago. Whenever a child begins to speak, do you have to teach that child to lie? No. He'll do it automatically. Just about the first thing out of their mouth will be a lie. You know, you can walk in there and catch a kid with a cookie, and he got a cookie all over his face and got one in his hand. Did you touch the cookie? No, I didn't do it. You know, we don't teach a child to lie. See, that's the sin curse. It comes natural. We have to teach them not to lie. We have to teach them to be godly. We have to teach them to be Christ-like. We don't have to teach the sin curse. It's all natural. So when I say that we're, every one of us in this room, we can consider ourselves or see ourselves a lot like Jonah, I think you would agree with me, right? Because each and every one of us have part of that sin curse. Chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, he was angry. He was upset because God had turned his wrath from Nineveh. But, folks, I want you to remember something. It said, we're back up here in verse 5, it said that they believed God and turned from their wicked ways. Which reminds me and makes me think of Donald Trump and our president and our nation and everything that's going on here in our country. Donald Trump wants to make America great again. And bless God, I thank God that we've got a president that wants to stand up for our country and do things correctly for our people. And I think it's great. But the reality of it is Donald Trump will never make America great again. It can't happen. Folks, if you want to see America great again, it starts with you. It said that they believed God and they turned from their evil ways. If we want America to be great again, we have to believe God and we have to turn from our wicked ways. And I want you to understand, now the world out here, the world is wicked. It's got a lot of changing to do. But if we want to see God's grace on America, then our nation has got to change. You know, today it's what is it today? We've seen the ballot, on our voting ballot coming up. They want to stop the dogs from racing at the dog tracks. Okay? Because they're killing 2-3 dogs every few days or something like that. A dog is dying. And I feel for the little dogs, okay? However, what I don't understand is why we're so worried about a dog that's being killed at the racetrack when we allow our babies to be killed every day. Now think about that. There's something wrong with the thoughts of man when he's more concerned about a dog than he is the children. When we want to save the whales and kill the babies. That's wickedness, that's evil, and until we turn from that, God is not going to make our nation great again. We need to remember, we look back at our forefathers, go back many, many, many years ago. Our forefathers, when they came to this country, First of all, they weren't running from God. They were running to God. Amen? Amen. And they took a stand on what was right. They preached Christ. They stood for Christ. They lived for Christ. And everything they did, this nation was founded on Christ. Amen. Now, the world don't like to hear that today. Amen. But that's the truth. That's American history. And God gave us a great nation because we as a people serve God. Amen. The God, the big G God, not the little G gods of the world. But we serve the God. Man put himself second and God first. And today, how many of us truly do that in our lives? How many of us tonight, how many of us would be back tonight? See, we got too many things to do. Yeah, but I got so much to get ready for Monday. Now, I'm not saying that to pick on anybody. I'm just saying that's where our heart is. If we truly serve God, we would be here tonight. Why? To serve God. We want to be in His house, in His presence, under the preaching of His word. To strengthen us every day. I mean, you look around, none of us look very hungry. We all feed our bodies every day. We take pills. We do everything that we can to strengthen ourselves. Some of us exercise. Walk, jog, run, whatever it is to do that we need to do to strengthen the body. But what do we do to feed our spiritual soul? If you want the body to be healthy, you have to feed it, amen? Do you feed your body 2 times a week? If we did, we wouldn't have that short fat problem, amen? Right? See, spiritually, we, the people of America, is dying. We're starving to death. We're not, and then those of us who do come to church, this is what we're doing, folks. Listen to me. This is what we're doing. We come to church and call ourselves being Christian, doing our duties. But a lot of us come to church just so we can say we went to church this week. We don't come to church to truly serve God. If we did, the churches would be packed. Every Sunday morning, not just when the plane flies into the building in New York City. The building would be full because we in our hearts would be wanting to serve God in whatever aspect that we can serve Him. Now, some of us are older and we can't go out and knock doors the way we used to. We can't drive buses, and that's fine. But everybody can serve God in some fashion. But there's too many of us that's still like Jonah. We're still running from God. Instead of running to Him, we're running from Him. And folks, we need to get ourselves back in the mode where we're running to God in everything that we do. Raising our children today, we call ourselves being Christians, but then we allow our children to live in the world and act like the world. Now folks, we're in the world, we can't change that. Each and every one of us, we have to function every day in the world. But we don't have to be part of that world. We don't have to be a Laodicean church. We can be a Philadelphian church. We can stand for the things of God. We can be running to the presence of the Lord every day of our lives. And teaching and raising our children to do the same. Not allowing them to be like the world, doing the things of the world, and then turning a blind eye to it. Like, well, maybe if I let them do this, you're going to get the same results that we've had since mankind's been here. It hasn't changed. It's wicked and it's evil. And unless your children, like yourself, is in the presence of God and running to God, then they're going to live a wicked, evil life. It's just that simple. But folks, we want to look at ourselves like it's okay for us. That guy over there, man, oh my soul. God needs to put His wrath on that man over there. Isn't that what Jonah was doing? Jonah was saying, I got mine. I'm right with the Lord. I've got mine. I'm not worried about that guy over there. I don't care what happens to that guy. God has given me His grace, and I thank Him for that. And that man over there, he's on his own. And that's what we do every day of our lives. when we don't serve God in our fullest capacities. Each and every one of us in here, at some point during the day, we come into contact with people that's never going to be in this church. They're not coming to hear the gospel preached. So it's up to you and I to do God's bidding, correct? After all, if you're a born-again believer, you're a servant of the Lord. And if you're a servant of the Lord, then you're to obey the Great Commission. So each and every one of us is supposed to be spreading the gospel. But how many of us truly do that? We're so busy worried about what our neighbor's doing or what our friend's doing at the church that we can't even get the gospel out. And that's exactly what we do. And then we sit back and we wait for Trump to make America great again. It's not going to happen like that. We have to stand up and run to God. It's up to us to run towards the Lord and quit running from God. In verse 2 of chapter 4, "And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." So there you go. There you go. Jonah's admitting right here that he knew in his heart that God was a gracious God. And I don't know about you, but I personally can raise my hand and testify to the fact that God is a gracious God. He saved my soul. And I thank God that he didn't just pour his wrath out on me. I thank God that he gave me another chance and he gave me an opportunity to hear the gospel where I could be saved. And today in the world, when we look at those people out here in the world, let's just say a Muslim, somebody that you don't agree with, whoever it may be, you can look at that person as a wicked, evil person, or you can look at that person as a soul that's going to hell. And you may be the only person that can get the gospel to that individual to get God's grace. You know, each and every one of us, we're just as wicked as they are. You know, it doesn't matter who we are. God says, if I've broken the least of his commandments, I've broken what? All of them. So I'm just as wicked and just as evil as any man on this planet. We're all in the same boat. We're all under the same sin curse. But Jonah here knew. He knew that God was going to show his grace and mercy. He knew in his heart that if he went in there and preached like God asked him to, that God would show mercy. And Jonah's angry about that. Folks, it's hard to wrap your mind around that. That's the same thing. That's the same thing as looking at your neighbor. Let's just say your neighbor sitting beside you is lost. Might be your wife, lost. And you're going to be angry because God is going to allow her to be saved. Because that's what we're doing. It doesn't matter who the individual is. We're angry because of that. Verse 3, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." There's that attitude again. Can you imagine standing in the presence of the Lord and telling God that? And you think he didn't have an attitude? Sure he had an attitude. And I see, what else do I see? I see some selfishness. Right. I didn't get my way. I didn't get my way. So he wants to take my life, O Lord. He didn't get his way. "Then said the Lord, dost thou will to be angry?" Think about that a moment. You know what God is really saying to Jonah? Does thou will to be angry? What's God telling him? He's saying, Jonah, is it up to you to decide who I give my grace to? Is it up to you to judge that? Isn't that what he's saying? Because Jonah wanted to be, he wanted to set himself up as judge and executioner, didn't he? He wanted to put himself in the place of God. Amen. It's dangerous when we allow ourselves to get to that point to where we do that. "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city." Now Jonah, angry like a child, runs up on the hill, fixes him a little booth, gets a little bit of shade, and he's sitting up there waiting. He's waiting to see. I guess he wanted to wait out that rest of that 40 days. And he's going to wait to see if God is sure enough going to turn his wrath. Is he really going to spare these people? So Jonah still has some doubt in his mind. And he wants to go up there and just sit up there like a child. You know, remember when you used to run off and pout? You still do it. You still do it. Well, that's what Jonah's doing. He's running off. He's on top of the hill pouting. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. And now Jonah was happy about that. Now see, God had done something again for Jonah. Isn't it something how we're upset when God does something for Leroy, but when God does something for you, it's okay. Right? So there's Jonah right there. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and he smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement wind, east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. So there he is again. Now he was happy when God gave him some shade. And what's God doing here? God's showing Jonah, I can give and I can take. I'm God. I'll do as I please. That's what he's showing Jonah. And Jonah was all happy about it as long as he was on the receiving end. But when God took something away, and here he is, he wants to die again. And God said to Jonah, does thou will to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do will to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I have spared Nineveh, the great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle. Now we see right here that God is pointing out to Jonah that you have more concern over a gourd than you did the people of Nineveh. Yeah. See, the gourd was doing something for Jonah. So that meant something to him. What's God? Isn't God trying to show us where Jonah's heart truly was? See, it doesn't matter. You can say, well, I'm a Christian. That doesn't make you have the right heart. Amen. You can be saved and going to heaven, but that doesn't mean you got the right heart. You can still have the heart of Jonah. Folks, we don't need to be there as Christians. We need to get self out of the way, and we need to start lifting up our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Amen. We need to be more concerned about them than we are ourselves. And if we'll do that, we can make America great again. Amen. But it's up to the people. And we need revival in this nation. And revival always starts in the same place with one person. And that one person is you. That's where it starts. It starts with you in your heart with the right attitude. We don't need to be like that other side. We don't need to have the mindset that they've got. Look at our political parties today. Look at the mindset, how wicked and evil that is. I don't care who they are, what side they're on. We should still be concerned for their soul. That's what matters. The soul lives for eternity. What we do in this world today, in all honesty, we're not taking anything with us. You know, we may live a little better, like America. It's nice to be in America. It's nice to live here, isn't it? It's nice to live in a country that God has given us and God is setting up for us. And that's awesome. But we're not taking any of it with us. And souls that are lost are going to hell. And it's up to you and I to spread the gospel. And if we want to make America great again to where it can continue to spread the gospel, it starts right here with us. We can't allow ourselves to get in the same mentality here that Jonah's got. We can't allow ourselves to get that same mindset. God has given us this as an example. We need to read it, meditate on it, think about it, and say, look, I don't want to be that person. I want to be like the pilgrim that came to America, that ran to God, that fought for the things of God. That's the life that we need to be in. Amen. All right, well, we're out of time, so I quit right there. We're going to be dismissed. We're going to go out.